The Business of Marketing podcast is brought to you by Demand Exchange. Demand Exchange provides the technology, content, and expertise to identify and acquire your next ideal customer. Season 3, Episode 10 features Dana Kalfas-Bodine, Vice President of Marketing at Trustpilot, in conversation with Justin Cook, Chairman of Demand Exchange.
I'm delighted today to be welcoming Dana from Trustpilot to this edition of the Business of Marketing podcast, recorded live here at Advertising Week. Welcome, Dana.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Introduce yourself, first of all.
So I'm Dana Kalfas-Bodine. I've been in the business darn near 20 years. The past 5 years, the past 2.5 years, I've been at Trustpilot leading B2B marketing, B2C marketing, PR, everything for the U.S., top to bottom. And before that, I spent 5 years in fintech, payments, and financial inclusion, which is kind of a really interesting pivot, and I can tell you a little bit about that. And then before that, I was raised on the mean streets of digital media in the early days of the folks that were moving to print to digital to video. So I come from a background of the digital ecosystem and you know, creating those stories and compelling creative for customers and consumers.
Now, for those of us, I don't believe there is anyone on the planet that doesn't, but for those of them that don't know, kind of tell us all about Trustpilot. Why do you exist and what problems do you solve?
Sure. So Trustpilot was founded in 2007 based on the core, and I think this is probably even a little bit earlier, on the core mission of that trust is good for everybody, that we can help consumers have trust in the businesses and services and products that they buy by looking at authentic reviews. And businesses can actually drive value from looking at those reviews and actually grow their businesses. So for consumers, we're that trusted source, that open platform where they know there aren't fake reviews, that what the experiences they're reading are authentic. And for businesses, we offer the insights for them to be able to build trust, grow, and improve their offerings, their business, their brand, and their bottom line.
Now, I'm of the view that you're never more than 10 pixels away from a Trustpilot review, but kind of just give me a sense of the kind of size and scale of the organization.
Sure. So we're the organization itself, I think we're about 800 people around the globe, mostly based in hubs in Copenhagen, London, New York, Denver, we're opening an office in Hamburg, and we have Milan. But most of our business, our bread and butter, is in UK, Northern Europe, and growing the US. In terms of the size of our platform, we just hit our 300 million milestone of total reviews on Trustpilot across the globe, over 1.1 million domains.
Wow.
So we have a lot of reviews over the past decade and a half.
And of course, here we are in New York, and you're basically driving the US.
Yes.
Tell me more about that.
Right. So what's really interesting and why I was so excited to join Trustpilot is Trustpilot is a very much a household name, especially in the UK. You go down the tube and every other out-of-home advertisement has Trustpilot stars. You're driving down the road everywhere. In the US, people recognize it once they know about it, but the awareness is much lower. And we identified that the strategy for the U.S., the place that we had permission to play was not necessarily in retail or travel, which we know they have amazing organizations here that do that well, but in the services like fintech, insurance, any type of, we call it high CLV, high customer lifetime value, where someone is making a purchase or service decision maybe once or twice in their life, like a mortgage, an auto loan. That is very meaningful. It's not buying a pair of sneakers. It's, you know, taking all of their life savings and trusting it to a business that will help them in the next 30 years. So in the US, we focus on those businesses. We see really interesting opportunities with fintechs that are offering new experiences, new products for consumers that they're not used to. It's not their local bank. It's a new way of, you know, like a SoFi, looking at, smaller loans, at banking. And then I essentially was that person. I was the marketer in fintech and B2B, and I was the target audience. So for me to be able to run a region where I know the target audience so intimately because it is me was really exciting. And especially coming off the heels of financial inclusion, which my work in the startup world and at MasterCard was really focused on including more people and making it more fair for people to have access to financial services. For me, Trustpilot was a way that democratizes that shared wisdom and experience. So, for example, my husband and I bought our first house last year.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. It was not an unpainful process, but we're privileged to have a cousin who's in the insurance business. We have my mother-in-law has banked with a local bank for a very long time, knew a loan officer. And I think about the folks that maybe are first-generation Americans, or English is not their first language, or their ability to navigate all these different brands and services is limited. How do we equal the playing field so everyone knows who to trust? They can read real experiences, not to mention, you know, the proliferation of fraudulent and fake and, you know, predatory services that everyone deserves that inside info that reading reviews can offer. And that's why we focus so much on the financial service space.
Tell me about the kind of the data to support the impact that you're having in those sorts of markets.
Well, I think what's really interesting is, there's data impact and then there's social impact. I think what's really interesting, and we're seeing this, and this is a guiding philosophy that I'm really passionate about, of seeing the benefits that something can benefit a consumer or human being, a person, and it could also benefit a business. And it can protect a consumer, it can protect a business. So the FTC just passed, at the end of August, a ruling to ban fake reviews, which we've really embraced. We help consult them with our coalition partners to actually find ways to remove fake reviews so consumers are really protected from fraudsters and bad actors. We removed 3.3 million fake reviews last year alone. 80% of that, we detected that through AI and machine learning. So we know the problem is out there. We know that people are constantly, even in a platform that we've been with for many years, that we have built an army of folks that are just looking after our content integrity and the integrity of our reviews, that there's still folks out there trying to penetrate. And again, we remove millions and millions on a yearly basis. So the data is there that people are trying to mislead consumers. And for us, that is an important point that we need to bring to brands to say, you have to protect yourself there too. So what we offer to brands, besides the fact that they need to hear from their customers and, you know, it's good brand health to have, you know, another voice of the customer lever or a way to measure sentiment, is that we actually have ROI against the usage of our product to actually drive bottom line results. And same thing of using it in our creative advertising. So we have the data on ROI, we have the data on the problem that brands really have to watch out for, and now with the FTC involved, they are mandated to clean that up, and we're here to help.
Fascinating. So, marketeer, you grew up in the streets of digital media. Yeah. You've run with the wolves, as it were. Tell me a little bit about some of the kind of fundamental kind of concepts and approaches that you take to kind of marketing.
Sure. So I think, and you know, I'm sure everybody says this, you know, it's about the basic human need and human condition. B2B, B2C, augmented segments, ICP. Like, at the end of the day, it's someone having an experience with your content or your product or the message you're trying to tell, and how are you making that experience and taking care with it. People's time is more limited than ever. So every single touch point, again, whether it's with a marketing manager or whether it's with a mom, and they're probably the same person, what value are we delivering to them, and we're making it worth their time? And again, I think on top of that, through coming up through digital media, which was a bit of a wild west, getting a little bit more pointed in the financial inclusion space, I really truly believe in my bones that doing the right thing for consumers can be great for businesses, and everybody can win. So I always try to look for that, of how we can deliver the best content, even if it's sponsored content, to people, that they'll find something useful from it, they'll enjoy it, and it'll be effective for a business, whether it teaches them something or actually drives growth.
And for a brand that stands for trust, you know, that's a really interesting kind of dynamic, right, in terms of how you actually then execute on that.
Yeah. And that's what I'm really excited about now. I think as a marketer, you're always like, trust, brand mission. Like when you talk about, and I think in the past, we've all built brand platforms, overarching messaging strategy, values, and you know, sometimes you're in a room presenting things like this and you get eye rolls about marketers talking about trust and authenticity and all the things that, you know, we have well-earned reputations for. But now we actually have ROI and hard data to back up the value of that trust. It's not just a nice to have. It's an imperative from the regulators. We know it works in advertising. It drives, you know, 8x click-through rates when we use Trustpilot branding on digital ads with the work we've done with London Research. And now the work we commissioned with Forrester show that we've been able to prove that trust, meaning implementing our premium features by enterprises, engaging in reviews, encouraging people to leave reviews, not being scared to, actually drives up 400% return on investment. And people can, and the business leaders can see that ROI payoff in less than 6 months. And just by a brand increasing their trust score by 1 point drives an 8x increase in purchase conversion. So again, it's like being the marketer at the table to say, this matters, authenticity matters, trust matters, and it's not just a brand platform. It actually drives our business forward and drives growth.
Now let's talk about how you get that message out to the market. Tell me about sort of your strategy there.
Yes. So, and especially in the US, when I first started, we had never run a big holistic campaign in the US for B2B specifically. And for me, one, it's just giving our target audience is marketers, marketing decision makers, executives, and customer experience professionals. So the chief customer officer, CX, that type of thing. So one is giving them the proof points. We've all been in that room where I have to present a deck on an investment of a campaign. How can we surface up all those proof points above the line, being very clear of what we offer to make it super easy for marketers to show the value of trust and doing that through Trustpilot? So we do thought leadership, we do the webinars, we do really great content partnerships with trade publications. Our campaign that just launched last week is really all focused on this Forrester report, which, you know, we all know and respect deeply. And again, it's about getting the proof points in the hands of the people that are us, the marketers, and then providing full support at every level of the journey, because it's not just partnering with Trustpilot and adopting our products. It's making sure we're embedded at every part of their customers' purchase process. And the more they engage, the more they use, the more they get out of it.
And what are some of the digital channels that you're finding really working for you?
Right. So we do robust ABM, like everybody else. And, you know, understanding that we all know there's not one decision maker on budget and unlocking the decision to invest in a partner like Trustpilot. And we look at that larger buying committee. So it's usually led by a mid-level marketer, understanding that maybe they just are tasked with find a review solution, but then maybe their senior folks being like, wait, there's more here. I cannot just have a review solution, which I check the box and do, but can this supercharge my ad creative? Tick. For CEO or C-suite level folks, is this a metric I can bring into my organization to drive morale, to have people marching in the same direction? We hear a lot of feedback from our customers that they literally will have their NPS score, their Trustpilot score, all of their bookings or their revenue or wherever they meant, always on screens, because that's something that everyone needs to march to. And we do that at Trustpilot too. We walk the walk as well. Those are the different groups that we try to hammer home that resonance with.
And is there an element of messaging, and is there a kind of a journey that you've sort of identified? You beautifully described kind of the different roles and sort of the depth of challenge and thinking, but have you managed to kind of find this non-linear kind of pathway through the buying journey?
I mean, really, I think we've been talking about trust for a very long time. And Peter Millman built an amazing business based on trust and the fundamental value of hearing people's real experiences. So I think, especially in the U.S. where the awareness is lower than in Europe where it's everywhere, we start there, but we have to hit right towards the proof points. Delivering the proof points for my customers, to my audience, like we cannot bury the lead. We can't be on our soapbox talking about how important trust is without ROI, click-through rate, making their job as easy as possible so we get them from awareness to instant understanding.
That's a great segue into my next question, which is like when you think about measurement and metrics, what do you live by?
Everything. We live at awareness. So in the US too, we're looking at awareness, and there's so many different ways to measure it, but we just want the up trajectory. But very specifically, for the US, our focus is not on, supermarkets and retailer travel, but it's looking about how we're really driving market penetration and, again, this high customer lifetime value industry of payments, fintech, lending, investment, insurance. And honestly, this is a little less measurable, but just the amount of times where we've seen the uptick in using Trustpilot brands in the US has completely changed. Like, we track that internally all the time. We're literally, I had my hand out the window driving down to the Jersey Shore, seeing an NJM billboard and taking a picture of the stars. And, again, you guys are used to it in the UK, but for us, that's the biggest thrill, that through my Instagram feed, it's just popping up. And my friends and family who 2 years ago were like, oh, that sounds interesting. They're like, I saw the green stars. I'm checking Trustpilot.
Wow.
And again, we have hard data to show adoption. Our visits to the US pages are up. The amount consumers engaged with our product is up year over year, growing immensely. We grew our bookings, I think, 23% year on year, which we've been, just on a huge trajectory. So I would say we look at all the traditional things and then all the human things of literally snapping things. We're constantly snapping pictures of our logos in the tri-state area all the time.
And you talked about London Research and Forrester reports, the data kind of behind them. And obviously, if you're focusing in kind of those very high stress, I suppose, right? Really critical kind of decision points that we make in those sorts of purchases of houses, cars, and financial services. What sort of how do you think, what's your content strategy? How do you kind of deploy that?
I think we are very clear with our customers, so our marketers and our CX folks that we're trying to connect with, they know they have a big responsibility. Rocket Mortgage, SoFi know they're holding the futures of millions of people in their hands. And our content strategy is, how do we really demystify that? How do we make it easy and digestible? Again, we live and breathe it. We have an entire team of lawyers, of folks that are really looking at how we are acting with integrity and rooting out the bad actors on any, on our review platform. But then breaking that down in a real tangible way for marketers and customer experience leaders. So for example, when the FTC regulation rolled out in August, we made sure that we had communications right to every single customer. Here are the next 5 steps you have to do. None of it pushing any type of product or offering, but just being really clear. You're a customer, guess what? You're compliant, or you're near compliant with Trustpilot. 2, if you have your own review platform in-house, these are the things you need to worry about, because you will also be affected by this change. So we just try to be, a really great companion brand, a partner of, it's not just about signing on the dotted line, but every month, every new change in technology, any new change of regulation, we are communicating with our customers at every single touch point in the platform.
Tell me about how you like to structure your teams.
So I'm, and anyone that's worked with me says I love a generalist. I think marketers, and again, I'm completely biased, are some of the most wonderful ninjas in the world. Cross team, they can cook, they can present, they can
wash up.
They can create an ad on with rubbing 2 things together. So really looking for curious, flexible, and people that bring or look for joy. And I think the joy of what we do and the joy of our day-to-day is so incredibly important. And again, we spend more time with our colleagues than most of our family these days. And having that joy of being excited about doing the work, but also knowing if I can do something a little bit more that makes my colleagues' day a little bit easier, gets them out of here quicker so they can go to their kids' baseball game, that's the type of relationship I want as a team. And then folks, again, I don't think there's a school you can go to or background that you can have that makes you the greatest marketer. I love the folks that break the mold and then that are different, and we all kind of figure it out together.
diversity is critical,
yes.
Right?
And every type of diversity. I want no cookie cutter anything. And again, that's part of the joy of being in a group of folks that are different than yourself.
And what are the sort of superpowers that you've kind of added to your teams over, you know, the last sort of few years as the world keeps changing?
Yeah, I think the biggest superpower is taking ambiguity as an opportunity of, and it's nerve-wracking. I'm not going to pretend like it doesn't stress me out, but that's an uncharted path that we can take the lead and chart. We don't know how to measure this. We don't know how to tell this story. This change in product happened. How do we communicate it? It's going to have some impact to our customers of seeing it always as an opportunity in a way that someone can make their mark rather than something I have to do and deal with. Of like, again, approaching each thing with a level of joy.
And not being fearful, right, yeah, of the unknown.
Or we're all scared.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
guess what? We hold hands and we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Because I want you to feel better tomorrow, and I know you want me to feel better tomorrow. And just being totally human. And that's a big thing at Trustpilot that I think, you know, I've worked a lot, you know, most of my life in New York or stateside-based companies, many in New York that have a very New York culture, which is, you know, full on. And what I've so enjoyed being at Trustpilot with our Copenhagen and London sensibilities is there's that look at the whole human being. And what makes someone a great marketer might be going home and making sure they can, you know, cook the latest recipe they saw in the paper that day. And I'm going to get more out of that person the next day because they had the opportunity to pursue a passion of theirs. And Trustpilot really takes the value of trust and the power of being, you know, totally human in your whole self incredibly seriously.
And in the work, how do you allow that sort of, how do you give that license to kind of, you know, in those ambiguous kind of like situations, like tell me about some of the you know, the real world kind of, you know, experimentation,
right,
innovation.
It's not all kumbaya. We have very specific OKRs.
Yeah,
we have very specific goals. And I am there for my team to guide them, for them to guide me. I think very much, you know, I'm just a lucky lady who's probably just a lot older than everybody else. But people can find their own paths to get there and how to hit there. And we're going to figure out a way to do it, but it's not the way someone needs to get to their end objective will be different for everybody. And the tools that they need and the way they need to be spoken to. And, you know, within reason, we will find ways to accommodate any way people need to get there. And then having just regular check-ins and looking at the numbers. And I think too, you know, with marketers having to shift from just brand health awareness sentiment metrics to hard, you know this, you know, hard data points where we're actually showing ROI in real time, we're driving bookings. It's a very high pressure environment from an industry that was really focused on creative and experience, that we have to attack, or at least run towards those challenges with the same creativity, optimism, and joy that we would if we're just spinning up an ad campaign. So take the things that make marketers great and just use that differently when we're looking at performance media or anything else.
You just naturally, in this conversation so far, you've mentioned working with kind of colleagues, you know, across the org. Tell me, as a marketer, like, how do you like to kind of set up that relationship between product, sales, marketing?
Right. It's a great question. I think I'm someone who I've always worked very closely with a commercial team. So I love working with sales. And, you know, most people are like, are you okay working with sales? I love it. It's the optimism. It's the fall down 8 times, get up 9, 10, 11. And that level of momentum, I think, mixed with a marketing sensibility is just like, it's rocket fuel, and I love it. And I love to win, and I love to help close deals. I don't want to necessarily be on the hook for an entire client list, but we'll share that in ABM. So I think for me, there's always been a natural affinity, excitement, and love for working with commercial. So that's come really naturally. And on the product side is connecting about the things that we connect with. I love creative. I love understanding human behavior and what makes them move and what makes them, what turns them off and what turns them on. And I connect with our product folks in that way of what are we traveling to solve for? And our product folks, again, rooted in this value of trust, you know, the decisions that they make and the value that they bring is so deeply rooted in our mission. It's having a deep respect for that. And then also not being afraid to bring in my point of view experience from, you know, how we know people respond to narrative messaging in the marketing world.
You've talked also about creativity quite a bit in this, and creative. I think that's really interesting. And I think I was kind of wanted to ask you about Trustpilot's sort of quite unique in a way, because it is a B2B business in one sense, right? But it's kind of B2B2C, as in there aren't many companies that basically end up in the ads, you know, of, right. Of their customers, right? Unpack that for me a little bit.
So that's what's really interesting. We were talking about this today with my colleagues, because we were talking about, all right, look, what do all marketers look at in their portfolio of their brand health? They look at their awareness, they look at NPS, they look at, you know, the performance of their ads. But how many people, and again, NPS is incredibly important, we use that as well, but would then put NPS in an ad? Nobody. And I think that's the duality that we have the credibility with consumers, where they look at it, have expectations, and understand it. And it's a key metric for business health. And to be dual-sided like that, I think it's pretty unique. And I think that's where the rub comes in of, again, if we do right by the consumers, we help the businesses use the platform in a way that really engages with the consumers, they pay them back because they then recognize the reviews and click on them and add more reviews and engage more.
So let's dig in to the reviews themselves, right? Give me kind of an overview of kind of, you know, your kind of insight into the scores and the number of stars. I really want to kind of get a sense of, you've got this wealth of data. You've got must have so much insight to share.
Yeah, and you know, I have a sliver of it, but our team is just like incredible review nerds and sit on a mountain of data that is just so interesting, especially as a marketer caring about human behavior. So we know that folks trust a trust score that is a 4.8, a 4.6 over a 5. And it could be a real 5. It could be an absolutely stellar product, but something doesn't, you know, pass the sniff test there. And they need to know, and I think this is also as human beings, you need to know that someone's vulnerable and everyone has strengths and weaknesses. People want to see that from brands too. We also see that every negative review is just an open opportunity, that if a brand answers a negative review, follows up, engages deeper, and doesn't run away from it, oftentimes that consumer will come back with a stellar review and be an advocate for life. So it's scary for a lot of brands, because they come to us and they're like, oh, I have a trust score of 2.5. What do I do? It's showing up in all these places. And we're like, you have an awesome opportunity here. Here's how to best engage with those folks. And we know the return on responding to those negative reviews comes back tenfold. And again, increasing someone's trust score by 1 point, we've seen an 8x increase in purchase conversion for these brands. So it's the right thing to do. It brings up the score. Bringing up the score drives conversions. It's not just a nice sentimental thing to have.
And the insight you must get as a brand, right, from those reviews as well. You know, it could be, you know, how the customer service agent dealt with the customer.
Yes.
It could be the product. It could be the service. It could be all sorts of things. You know, the chief product officers must be all over these
yes.
reviews.
Of is this a human-to-human interaction issue? Is
right.
this something that was a core issue with a product functionality? And these are the insights we actually deliver directly to our enterprise customers, where they're able to look and be like, why? I'm getting an influx of this very specific question around X. And they can identify that's a button on their app that is misfiring. So it's, but then it also could be, you know, something going wrong in their customer service organization. So that's why we think too, beyond just marketers, beyond just customer service execs, the C-suite having a pulse on all of these different insights into what people are doing and how they're feeling is really rich and interesting.
And how do you advise global brands to work with you? Because I was just thinking, you know, I've got, you know, I don't know, I mean, 180 countries, and I've got like X different product lines, and I'm in these thousands of locations. Like, how does that all kind of roll up to kind of one score, or doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's some special sauce behind the score in general, but what we tell our customers, whether they're in Cincinnati or they're in the Cotswolds, that you have to lean in and engage. Invite every single customer to leave a review. Even if you know perhaps it wasn't a great experience, every touch point, every customer communication, every point along the purchase journey from, you know, a purchase made, a visit to a cart that's full, ask for reviews at every single moment. The more you have, the more you have to work with, and then answer every single review. And it's a lot. We have tools to make that manageable, and we have amazing, huge businesses that are able to do that in a real thoughtful and sophisticated way. But the more you engage, the more you invite, the more you're going to see the ROI. And no matter what market we're in, that rings true overall. It's not a set it and forget it. It's a commitment, but it pays off.
I get a real sense that sort of, you know, you're very much kind of on a mission at the moment to kind of grow this market. And
yes.
I can feel it in the room, frankly. Alongside that, I suppose, what are you most excited about at the moment?
I'm most excited about our growth in the U.S. in the past 2 years has been amazing. And it had some really incredible benchmarks that we've met and exceeded. I think the team that we have both in the U.S. and in corporate headquarters are the right set of folks that I really feel like I can give feedback to openly to an executive team. They can give it to me. And there's nothing, as long as I can back it up with data and a model and a business case, there's nothing I can't pitch to my team, to my bosses. They'll get excited about everything. So I really do have the autonomy and the feeling that America's wide open for us to do more. And again, because my familiarity with the fintech world, and I'm really passionate about the products they bring to market and really think they're changing the way people live their lives and giving them more tools and more equitable tools than ever. I just can't wait for more clients to use those stars. I can't wait for clients to be able to, you know, connect directly with their consumers and improve their products and hear that story. And we have so many amazing customer advocates, even in the U.S., like SoFi is a great example, their whole mission is this, you know, social finance and understanding, you know, the interconnectedness of people's relationships. And, you know, they're moving in the banking space and they've done an amazing job with their Trustpilot reviews. You know, doing more of those things, making other marketers look great and be the heroes and not just be the cost centers of businesses, but actually the revenue generators of business. That gets me super excited.
And here we are at Advertising Week, right? Outside, you know, there's the buzz and the new is all around us. What from a marketing perspective are you really excited about?
I'm really excited. I mean, I'm really excited about is that we're actually kind of ahead of the curve. I mean, everyone's talking about AI, generative AI. Like, our fraud detection software has been around for years, and we've been removing millions and millions of fraudulent reviews, you know, for a very long time. So when everyone's talking about how are you going to wrestle with it, I'm like, we're in the ring. We're in it, and we're doing it. We've launched products where we're actually using generative AI. So this is actually really cool. I love this, where our customers can use AI-generated responses to someone saying, hey, I had a bad experience with this or this person, and we can actually give them the tools where the first response can make sure that it abides by their brand tone of voice, the way that they speak, knows the products. So, like, that's like in a bag for a marketer, not having to worry about brand tone and voice and having to be able to automate or at least start some of those review responses is really exciting. And again, I think the intersection of purpose and profit, working with the FTC and making sure we're really protecting customers, and that's good for business. I think that we're going to see a trend moving in that direction where it's not so much tech versus regulation, about like how we all just want to do better, and that makes financial sense and it makes human sense.
That's a great point, I think, and I would love to see that happen more, frankly. That we don't need to be enemies, right? It's sort of there is a common good here. We haven't talked about social.
Yes,
I'd love to kind of get your view on social.
So, you know, we're on all the channels. LinkedIn is a huge, you know, focus for us because, again, we're marketing to B2B decision makers. What we're really finding and what we're really doing some digging into is what using the Trustpilot stars ratings are through people's social creative. And we know too, look, there's not one purchase journey and there's not one thing that will make someone decide to go with this mortgage or that mortgage as, you know, bells and whistles, but we know it's when we advise our customers that we advise social has to be part of the mix, social in the traditional sense, but also we would define social as the social proof that Trustpilot provides, because again, it's real customer experiences, the words straight out of the mouth from a true customer experience, that is a social channel too. And I think putting it into the environments where people are maybe watching influencers, they're, you know, we think about TikTok a lot, we think about LinkedIn. It's just another layer of social truth that complements using the Trustpilot creative in their advertising.
It's the 20th anniversary of Advertising Week as well. I'm just thinking, we're sitting here in 2044, we're looking back. What does the world look like?
That's a very hard question. I mean, world peace, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. That's all the given. That's
good. The given, yeah, that's right? Good. The planet's still here. I think the world knows what institutions to trust and has the tools to be able to interrogate things that are maybe net new. And I think we're at an inflection point right now where new is scary. And again, especially in regulatory environments where maybe the government doesn't know the ins and outs of tech, which we know, that people are still struggling with understanding the terms and conditions of things, understanding when they're clicking on a pop-up on a website of what that means and how to do it, especially the difference of what's happening in the UK versus the US, which is just a totally different landscape. I want people to feel really confident and assured they know when they're being marketed to versus when they're being talked to. That they feel like they have an impact. And what I love about Trustpilot too is that their voice can be heard. That conversations between individuals and brands can be closer, more authentic. And it's not just Sunday, 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 buy the used car, where we're actually like really figuring out how I can get the best deal for my mortgage. And my mortgage lender is figuring out the best way that can work for their business, do the right thing. And that's a conversation that can easily be had. And conversation in the sense that the data's there and it's all working together and I can see my values reflected in the brands that I'm engaging with.
I love that idea of a kind of source of trust as well that underpins all of that, right? That confidence that you described at the beginning. Listen, I've really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you so much for giving us your time.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing the stars rising across the United States.
We're gonna have the green stars everywhere. So thank you for having me. It's great to see you.
The Business of Marketing podcast is brought to you by Demand Exchange. Demand Exchange provides the technology, content, and expertise to identify and acquire your next ideal customer.